Good evening. I'm Evan, and this is the Kinky Crafter Podcast. Today is Wednesday, April 30th. Let's see, I finally managed to get to the craft segment this evening. I did decide to go ahead and use some hemp rope that I had already had spun, just because of the amount of time that it would take me to spin up a decent amount of bamboo, to sort of really show off the rope-making process. So I figured I'd be sort of better served to make use of what I already had around. You know, the quality of the hemp thread that I used is not that great. There's some of the earlier material that I was first learning on. You know, so the end result does look a little on the rough side, but I think it definitely works. I mean, it gets the point across. See, the first couple pictures I have up are of the one of the colors of dyed bamboo fiber that I have. And I put up a couple pictures of the fiber next to the finished rope product. I figured that might be sort of interesting to look at and kind of check out and see what that looks like. After that, I have a picture of the spinning wheel that I use. It's a Ashford Joy spinning wheel. It's a little on the pricey side, but it's a very nice unit, and it's fairly portable. The foot pedal section folds up, and it fits into a fairly small bag, which is nice if you don't have a whole lot of space for all your, hobby accoutrement and whatnot. So it's good for that, and it's nice to be able to take it on the road if you're traveling around a lot. After that, I have a picture of the actual hemp thread that I used. Because I only have three bobbins for the spinning wheel, after I got done spinning the hemp, I used what's called a ball winder, a yarn ball winder, to wrap the thread up in a ball that's it's fairly self-supporting. I think in retrospect, next time I might try to either pick up some more bobbins for my spinning wheel or some more sort of general purpose bobbins, just because the way that it winds onto the ball winder, it doesn't unspool effectively for what I want to do. Basically, kind of the ideal setup for me is being able to take the bobbin and spin, put it on something that it can rotate on and then walk back and forth, because, well, the longer that it takes you to, walk back and forth and actually lay all the line down, that's a fairly significant part of the time investment in the total project. So, anything you can do to minimize that really, kind of pays off in the long run. But it did work for what I was doing. So I'm not gonna complain too much. The next picture that I have up is of the rope making machine that I have. That's an antique, I believe from somewhere around 1924, somewhere thereabouts. And I picked it up off of eBay. It was a little on the pricey side. I kind of like it because it's an antique, although realistically you could probably put something together and that'll actually probably be one of my future craft projects, is making something a little more smooth and modern. It's not the most efficient design in the world. Uses kind of odd planetary gear setup, and it's not the best casting in the world either. Sometimes the gears kind of jam up a little bit, and there's plenty of room for improvement there with the thing going with a bicycle chain based system at some point in the future. So essentially, I set that up at one end of the living room with a weight on the back of it, because once you get all the lines set up and get everything properly tensioned, there's a fair amount of force pulling on the rope machine, which is on top of a wooden bench and kind of temporarily mounted there. And I found out the first time I tried doing that if you didn't put a weight on the back of the bench, the whole thing would flop over, which is very unpleasant when you have everything set up with your rope, or with your thread rather, set up on the system, especially once you start turning the crank and twisting the rope together. It shortens as it twists, so you end up with basically it gets tighter and tighter until it in my case, until it lifts the weight that I'm using off of the ground. At that point, it's fairly stable tension wise but it's still under a lot of tension. The picture after that is of the other end of the system. Basically, I just wrapped a line around a door handle. I used a steel cable, a thin steel cable, and I believe it's originally intended for use as a small dog leash or dog running line. I attached one end to a carabiner that I used for looping the thread around back and forth between the carabiner and the hooks on the rope machine. And then the other end of the line, I attached to some rope, which goes to a pulley on my, goes to another pulley on the portable suspension frame that I had set up in the living room, and then up to a third pulley at the top of the suspension frame. And then the line goes down to the, you know, the dead weight. Essentially, the reason I designed it like that was so that I could have the maximum amount of take up in the system, so the weight can go all the way from the floor almost all the way to the ceiling before I have to readjust it, which on this run I was able to actually complete the entire thing without having to reposition the weight, which is nice. If I had just gone directly from the pulley at the door handle down, I probably would have had to, you know, move it several times, because it would have only been able to come up, you know, a few feet before it hit the pulley. Let's see, after that I have a couple pictures of the sort of intermediate process in setting the thread up. You start off by tying a loop in the line and then attaching it to, you can start off anywhere. I usually start at the rope machine. You attach to one of the outer hooks, and then basically you run back and forth between the rope machine and the carabiner, and alternating the hook on the rope machine that you go over, and you try to maintain as even a tension as you can, and you want to keep it fairly fairly snug, but without breaking the line, which, you know, given that I was using some material that I was just learning to spin with, there was a fair amount of breakage going on, because there were some very thin spots and there were some overspun spots and things like that that tend to make the line weak. But given that I wasn't too worried about it, you know, coming up terribly pretty, I basically just tied it off in a square knot and kept going. But you know, in an ideal situation, you wouldn't have that happen too much. Or if you were using, like, say, you know, a industrial, you know, a commercially produced thread that was, you know, fairly consistent and strong, that wouldn't be nearly as much of an issue. So eventually, once you've either used up all the line that you're planning on using, or decided that, you know, you're at the approximate thickness that you want it to be, and you can sort of approximate that thickness by taking, you know, at one of the hooks, taking the you know, one of the three strands and kind of squeezing it all together and you know, twisting it a bit, and you can sort of get an estimate of what a single strand is going to end up being size wise and kind of extrapolate from that the size of your finished rope. The rope that I ended up making ended up being around it was about 6 millimeter or so. So once everything's set up, I put my PVC self-walking traveler that I made into the system and slid it all the way up to the carabiner. And essentially what it does is it keeps the lines separate and has a fairly smooth section at the end where they, you know, where they finally come over it and then join together. And then as you twist the lines, that twist builds up in front of the self-walking traveler and tries to squeeze the lines together and turn the whole thing. That's what actually produces the rope behind it. And then that force of it, you know, pulling the rope together pushes the self-walking traveler in the opposite direction. So as you twist the, you know, the handle on the machine, the PVC device slides forward and the rope behind it twists up. And this allows you to get a fairly fairly consistent twist, you know, because it's, you know, whenever it reaches the amount of force required to push it, you know, whenever that much twist builds up, it'll move. So, you know, it maintains a constant twist. And you can adjust that actually by either adding weights to the traveler, or by, like I have in the pictures, adding a braking line. Essentially, I just used a thin leather strip, tied it off to the traveler, and wrapped it over the line coming behind it. So essentially, it acts as a friction brake. And the, you know, the more you wrap it around the line behind it, the more friction it produces. So once you finally have everything set up, you start twisting on the rope machine. And every once in a while, you have to kind of separate the strands, because sometimes they want to sort of twist together, especially if you have stray fibers sticking out that'll kind of snag on each other. But once you have a decent twist built up in all three strands, and everything's sort of pre-tensioned, they tend to stay apart fairly well. And after you have it at that point where everything's pre-tensioned, you cut the line holding the carabiner at the pulley, which allows it to shift forward as the rope shortens, because of the twist that builds up in it. Also, the carabiner is attached to, where the carabiner is attached to the steel line, there's a swivel at that point. In theory, you would want to use like a ball bearing swivel if you could. That was, you want to minimize the resistance there so that it twists smoothly and evenly. What I have there isn't perfect by any means, but with a couple drops of oil on it, it spins fairly freely and doesn't bind up or anything, so it was functional. And essentially, at that point, you just turn the handle until the self-walking traveler gets as close as it can to the rope making machine. The last bit can be a little tricky just because of the length of the traveler. You have to essentially have it set up so that I can take the back part that keeps it upright off when it gets within about 2 feet of the rope machine. And then, having monitored how many cranks of the handle went into a given distance of movement of the traveler, you have a fair amount of, you have a fair idea of how much extra twist you need to add into the system to maintain a consistent twist while you manually move the end piece up to the rope machine. And then once you get that as close as you can, and while still being able to pull the cross piece out, you pull that out, and then at that point you can go ahead and slide the individual strands off of the outside hooks. And put them on the middle hook, and this is kind of optional, but it's good to set the rope and kind of snugs everything up. And once you have everything on the center hook, you twist in the opposite direction, it sets the twist in the rope, and it tightens it down in the direction that it's already pulling itself, so it sort of snugs everything up and brings everything together and kind of evens out some inconsistent bits and sort of settles everything in. And you have to make sure that at that point you want to lock down the swivel at the other end of the rope. Otherwise, it won't build up any tension in it. It'll just twist freely. And at that point, you have rope. Usually, it ends up being somewhere around 2/3 of the original length that you started out with. That can vary a lot depending on the diameter, the stretchiness of the rope that you're using, etc. I took it off the center hook, put a line, put a small piece of thread through the opening in the ends of loops to keep them from untwisting, and then just tied a knot in the end. But essentially, at that point, you could cut a little bit off the end where it's go down to where you think it's consistent and even enough looking where you want it, and then use any of your sort of normal whatever your favorite rope finishing method is. To kind of clean up the ends. I've got a couple pictures up there of the finished product. Obviously, that's without any conditioning. I didn't, if I were planning on actually using it now, I would go back and snip off all the loose bits sticking out, and possibly even singe off the stray hairs and things like that to make it more smooth and more aesthetically pleasing. But, it's very, it's fully functional at that point. You have a piece of, it's actually very smooth, smoother than a lot of sort of professionally finished hemp that you're going to get for bondage, because that starts out with sort of a, more of a kind of commercial grade, if you will, a hemp that they get from Romania usually. It still has a lot of kind of stiff, fibrous, sort of pulpy matter. In the material, whereas the stuff that you get, the hemp fiber that you get for hand spinning tends to be a little cleaner and more, just kind of softer and better processed in general. So the end result is going to have a lot less, stiff pokey bits in it. So, it would take less conditioning to make it, smooth and pleasant feeling. So I hope that gives a decent general overview of the rope making process. If there are any specific elements or tools or, questions about techniques or anything like that, if you have any questions on anything I covered in the episode, I'd love to hear from you. As always, I can be reached at evan@kinkycrafter.com. And, if you if you want your comment read on the show, let me know. If you don't want it mentioned, let me know that too. If you do have a comment you want read on the show, please make sure to include, what name you'd like to be referred to by, or say that, let me know if you don't want to be referred to at all. I'm perfectly fine with anonymity. But yeah, I'd love to hear, you know, any comments or feedback or questions. And that's about it for tonight's show. Hope you all have a good night, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.